Hello, this is my GCSE computing podcast. Each week I record what happens in my classroom with my year 10 GCSE computing class. And I don't profess to be an expert, but I hope with your help that I may soon become one. So I record this episode each week at the end of the week, and some lessons, some weeks we have two lessons and some weeks we have three. And it's a year 10 class with 26 pupils. That's 23 boys and 3 girls. Now, we have had a slightly extended half-term holiday, so we had the full week off like everybody else, but to do it the way we do our school calendar, we were off on Monday and Tuesday, so today was the first day back at school, and I had my computing class today, but I don't have them again this week. So, yesterday I was on holiday, but I decided to spend the last day of my holiday visiting a colleague and friend at a neighbouring school, Vicky Dodd. And if you follow people on Twitter, she's at Vickyville. And wow, what a really good way to spend the last day of your holidays. I went in to visit Vicky with her year 10 GCSE computing class. And this is the first year that Vicky has been teaching GCSE computing. It was really, really good. It was a really rewarding experience for me to see a similar class to my own in terms of this broad range of ability. So there were some children in there who you might expect they might be getting A's and A stars, and some children who, if you're really, really lucky, might be achieving E and D grades. But that's what it is. It's supposed to be a curriculum that's accessible to people at all ranges of ability. So the really nice thing coming in and watching Vicky was I saw Vicky teach some things that I've been teaching and teaching some things that I haven't done. So I gained quite a lot from that. So one of the things I noticed in Vicky's lesson was she started off with a Kinect activity. And I like this, not Kinect, the Microsoft product, but Connect, to make a connection. So she, when the children came in after break, there was something akin to pseudocode on the board. So this is like something that looks like a computer program, but it wouldn't work because there'd be lots of syntax errors in it. So I had a line that said, age equals int, input, please enter your age. There was no punctuation in it, and then it said, if not age under 18, print, you're allowed to play this game. Else, print, sorry, you're not allowed to play. So the children came in, and she said, have a look at what's on the board. Try and figure out what you think it's supposed to do, then try and fix it so that you can get it to work and figure out, you know, what kind of things does it need adding to it. So children, very, very quickly, they engaged. This is Vicky's class I'm talking about when I went to visit them. They engaged really, really quickly with it. You could see they went straight into IDLE. She didn't have to remind them, you know, that's the native Python interpreter environment. They went in and they were able to, pretty much most of them were able to figure it out straight away. There was one or two little things, like people were missing colons or the odd bracket here or there. And then after about 5 to 10 minutes, she stopped the class, and they basically shared what were the things that they had to do to make it different. And some people seemed to struggle with the symbol for less than. And that was quite fortuitous, because the focus for the lesson in Vicky's class was all about using operators within a programming language. And then following that, there was then some sort of matching activities where they had to match the mathematical symbol or the operator with a description. So, for example, the symbol for less than, they would have to match it with the symbol for less than. And then there was some other, that was followed on later on by some programming tasks. So it was really, really good. Best way I could think of spending the last day of my holidays. Or maybe I'm a bit sad. I need to get a life. So today, still with buzzing with that idea, I decided today with my computing class, I was going to try the very same task. So they came in and I tried this Kinect task. They had to come in and they had to try and figure it out. But I varied it slightly. I got them to write it down in their books, first of all, and to identify when they'd written it in their books. What were the issues? What were the things that they're going to have to sort out in order to make this work? And then I asked them, once they'd then written that, to test it. And once they tested it, to write down the results. And if there was issues, if there was syntax errors, whatever, they had to correct them and explained that they'd corrected that. Right, so today really, following the plan that I've got, and I think I've put this on the Computing at School site, what I had scheduled for today was the use of binary to represent data. So the next thing after we'd solved that problem in Python, I then showed them the there's a joke, and I said, some of you have seen this joke before, and it's the one that says there are 10 types of people in this world, those that understand binary and those that don't. And I said, anybody here in the class seen this before? And four hands went up. Oh, great. Keep your hands up. The four people with your hands up, do you actually understand the joke? And they nodded. They did. So I took those four people who were sort of sat close to each other and I put them in different corners of the room. And that meant they had about 6 or 7 people each to work with. I said, right, you've got 3 minutes to explain the joke. So you could hear people going, ah, and then others going, what? No, I don't get it. So after 3 minutes, we stopped and we asked people who thought they'd got it to explain. And yeah, they knew it was something to do with binary. They knew that 10 represented binary too. So that bit was clear. But when I started asking about binary and digging deeper, they didn't really know much more than that. So then I thought, well, I'll give them a challenge. I said, right, watch, look, I'm holding my hand up and I've got 4 fingers upright on my hand and I've tucked my thumb away. How can you possibly count up to 15 using your fingers? And somebody said, oh, yeah, you just have 1 finger is like 1, the next one's like 3, then you've got like 9 and then 15. Well, okay, that's not what I mean. What I really mean is to be able to represent all of the numbers between 0 and 15 using your fingers. So work in small groups and try and come up with a system. So within each group, there's one person who just gets it. They just get these things really, really quickly. And I said, well, there'll be a reward or a prize for the group that can work it out the best. So I went round each group and they said, right, we've got it, sir. Right, okay, so show me the number 7. And I always picked somebody in the group who looked like they hadn't quite got it. And sure enough, they hadn't quite got it. The leader of the group, the person who seemed to know it, would be saying, no, put your big finger up, little finger, you know, this sort of thing. So I said, no, we're not quite at the right level yet. So I said, let's pause what we're doing. So I then I drew a table on the board with H, T, and U at the top of the 3 columns. And I just wrote a series of numbers. So I'd like 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1. And I said, right, you've got 10 seconds. I want you to check with the person sat next to you that you can tell them what those numbers are that are written on there. So they had the 10 seconds. And then I said, right, okay, so first number, somebody tell me. And it was, it's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, okay. What's a different way of saying it? It's 1. It's 2. It's 3. I said, no, that's not what I want. So somebody said, 123. Great. So let's look at the next one. Somebody went, 321. Great. Yeah, we've got it. 001. So somebody says, it's 001. Okay, let's find another way. 1. Great. So what does the H stand for? Hundreds. What's the T stand for? Somebody said thousands. No, it's not hundreds, thousands, and then U. Ah, tens, yeah. So think back to primary school, hundreds, tens, and units. So I explained about how humans, we count in what we call base 10. And then I spent a little bit of time trying to get them to explain and understand that the largest digit that we can use in our counting system is 9 and the lowest is 0, not bearing in mind negative numbers. So where do we go next from there? So I then said, now computers, they don't count from 0 up to 9. They count in binary. And then I said, let's try and figure out what binary means. So I'm going to write a few words on the board. So I wrote binary, bicycle, binoculars, biped. And then I wrote bisexual as well. I thought, oh, well, let's liven them up a little bit. So I asked, what do all these things have in common? And people said, yeah, there's like 2 of them. So what do these things have in common? Yeah, they've got 2 things. So a bicycle's got 2 wheels, a biped has got 2 legs, binoculars have got 2 oculars, 2 sights, and a bisexual, Well, I suppose they like men and women, and that's why they're called bisexual, and that was a bit of a laugh and a bit of a joke, but it was getting them to think about bi. It doesn't just mean bisexual, it can also mean two. So in the way my classroom is laid out, there's some lights that are above the whiteboard that sometimes they interfere with the whiteboard, and there's a boy in the class who I'll often... let's call him Alex. I'll say, Alex, can you turn the lights off, the top two lights, and turn them back on? So today, I to get them to think about binary, I said, well, why? Do computers only count two things, zero or one? And somebody quite rightly said, well, it's because zero represents off and one represents on. Okay, but why do they not have all sorts of other things in between? And there was silence. Nobody knew the answer. So, oh, Alex, Can you turn the lights off above the whiteboards? We did. Oh, Alex, actually, can you turn them back on again? Oh, no, that's too bright. And that, Alex, could you just turn the lights so they're kind of on but kind of off at the same time? Now, these are fluorescent lights, and of course, you couldn't achieve it. You couldn't have, because you can't dim fluorescent lights. So they could either be only on or off. And that was, I tried to use that to explain that for computers, really, it's quite easy for them to detect if something is on or off, but it's more difficult for them to precisely tell whether something is, you know, two-thirds on or one-third on or nine-tenths off, or that sort of thing. So it's easier and quicker and more efficient for them just to know, is it on or is it off? And sometimes if it's not quite on, then it's off. If it's or if it's not quite off, then it's on, that sort of thing. So, and then made the point that, but computers can count phenomenally fast. So it doesn't matter whether they count to 9 or to 10 or whatever, they can just do it so fast that it hardly makes any difference. So what came next? Ah, so the next thing was, before explaining placeholders in binary and how each column represents a different sort of multiplier, I wrote four binary numbers on the board. So we had some 8-bit numbers. So I had 10110011. And we had 11111111 and 00000000 and 10. And I said, right, now, what I want you to do, in the back of your books, try and figure out what these four numbers are in base 10 or decimal. And I'd left out, I did actually spend a little bit of time explaining the difference between base 10 and deanery and decimal. So they guessed, they struggled with some of them. Pretty much most of them worked out. 10, hang on, that was the one in the jokes, that must be 2. Most of the class figured out that 00000000 was going to be 0. Just a couple of the class worked out that 11111111 was 255. And that almost nobody in the class got the 10110011. So we'd been using Python before. I said, ah, there's a nice little trick we can use in Python. We can get it to convert binary to decimal. So I'm going to show you how we do this. So if you don't know, in Python, if you type in a binary number but precede it with 0 and a lowercase b, it'll then return that value in base 10 or in decimal. So for example, the 10110011, gosh, that's a mouthful. If you type in 0b and then follow it by that sequence, it'll return 179. So I then said to the class, right, so you've got your numbers that you think you know what they are. Go and test them using Python. Then Mr. Clever Clogs in the class puts his hand up and says, oh, sir, I figured out how you can do the inverse. If you type in bin in brackets and then put a decimal number, I'm like, oh, well, very, very impressive. So so that's how we tested it, except for some bizarre reason, when I asked them, 10110011, what value did you get? We got 93, 72, 61, 183, 100. Hang on, why are we getting such a diverse rate? This is always the same number. Try it again. So clearly they typed it in wrong, or they left a digit out. So where are we up to? So we're getting close towards the end of the lesson. And I think I must have spent 20 minutes or so which is a long time on this particular topic, and I do still feel that we need to come back to it next lesson just to make sure that's fully embedded. So I said to them, right, in about 5 minutes when the bell's going to ring, I'm going to give you a little test, and I'm going to use my four fingers on this hand, and my little finger, that's going to represent, what's it going to represent? It's going to represent one, and my big finger nearest my thumb is going to represent eight. And I'm going to show you, and here's five different combinations I'm going to present you with. And if you can get the right answer, you get to go on the bell. That's the way it works. Now, that's going to be tough for some of you. So I tell you what, before we get ready to pack away, you've got 2 minutes. Just check with the people sat around you. Do you actually know these five different, these are the combinations. So I've got like middle two fingers sticking up, outer two fingers, all fingers down, all fingers up, and then one that looks like I'm giving people the V's. So we then had, we do a prayer at the end of the lesson, and then after the prayer, I tested people, and basically some got it wrong, some got it right. So if you got it wrong, you had to wait around and have a second chance. And I was showing them different combinations of my fingers and my hands to see if they can get it. And we got there, because the time is now 4:15, and they left 45 minutes ago. So therefore, they've managed to work out how to count up to eight. Is that? Hang on, where am I? One, two, four. No, up to 15. They can count up to 15 using the fingers on their hand. Oh, my head hurts. Coming back to do a full day after the 10-week holiday that we've had. Right, I hope you are finding these podcasts helpful. I still do appreciate the feedback. I'm still getting positive feedback. Maybe you're all too polite to give me negative feedback, but please do. If I'm not doing a very good job doing this, I need to know, because otherwise I'm going to carry on recording this for the rest of the year, and you're going to tune out. You're going to find something else to listen to. So let me know things that you think I can include, things that maybe I'm talking for too long. Maybe I'm talking too much about things, and you want to hear more about other stuff. Just to mention as well, I developed some materials last year that I've tried with lots of different classes. Different teachers have tried them for teaching Python to year seven, and we've tested it with the full ability range in year seven. They are now on the Computing at School resources page, which is in the community site. You can download them. There's about 12 pages or something. And again, I'd appreciate feedback on that. My year 10s that I'm teaching at the moment, we used those materials with them when they were in year 9. And that was a good foundation to helping them understand whether computing GCSE was the right sort of thing for them. Please continue to use the Computing at School forum. Make sure you've got the notifications working exactly the right way for you, so you don't get bombarded with lots of messages that you don't want. It's quite easy to go in and change them settings. You've been listening to Alan O'Donoghue, teacher at Our Lady's Catholic High School in Preston, in the north of England. I'm Twitter. I'm Techno Teacher, T-E-K-N-O Teacher. If you want to email me, It's a long one, this one. It's alan@odonohue, O-D-O-N-O-H-O-E.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Bye.